I invite you to open your Bibles with me back to Psalm 104. That is going to be our text this morning. And while you're turning back there to Psalm 104, let me just take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for the invitation to be here. I don't believe that I have ever been here before. I have relatives scattered all over this general area, but if I have been here before, I don't remember it, but you have made me feel very, very welcome this morning. And so, thank you. Looking forward to getting to know you better this week. Please be patient with me. You have one name to remember. I have a few more than that, and I'll work on that this week. But it is just a joy anytime I have the opportunity to engage in a week like this, just to get to know brothers and sisters with whom I have the greatest things in common. That is one of the amazing things about the Lord and about His kingdom, His will for our lives. And my aim this week is to talk about Him, to talk about the kingdom, to talk about our work together, to talk about hopefully the difference we can make in this world in His name. And I'd like to start with you in Psalm 104. I'd love actually just to begin reading Psalm 104. If you will read that with me, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of His chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds His chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes His messengers winds, His ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. The cedars of Lebanon that he planted, in them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night. When all the beasts of the forest creep about, the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. There are lots of ways that we could begin a series of lessons like this, but I'm not sure there's a better way to get our hearts and our minds prepared to spend a week in God's Word and singing together and praying together and trying to encourage each other over the course of the next 6 days. Not sure there's a better way than starting with something like this in Psalm 104. If you were paying attention, you heard in the very beginning, verse 1, O Lord my God, you are very great. That's what the psalm is all about. In many ways, that's what this first day of the week is to be all about. In many ways, that is what my life and your life is to be all about. To use our God-given bodies and our God-given oxygen and this God-given opportunity to say, O Lord, my God, you are very great. And this particular psalmist approaches his elaboration on that in a very specific way. And one of the ways maybe to appreciate that most clearly is to just notice all of the verbs. Look back at what we read there in Psalm 104, just at the verbs attached to why is the Lord our God very great? What's the evidence for that? Why would we on the first day of a new week take the time to acknowledge who He is and how great His work has been throughout the ages? Well, here's Exhibit A. All of the verbs. For instance, in verse 2, He stretches out the heavens like a tent. In verse 3, He lays the beams of His chambers on the waters. Verses 3 and 4 and beyond, He makes the clouds His chariot. Verse 4, He makes His messengers' winds. Verse 10, you make springs gush forth in the valleys. You skip down to verse 19 of the same chapter. He made the moon to gather the seasons. Verse 20, you make darkness and it is night. Verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. This is not a distant God. This is not an uninterested God. This is most certainly not a coincidence or an accident in any way. There is a God whose works are very great. And the psalmist is encouraging us, even about 3,000 years after this particular psalm was written, just to slow down long enough, to open our eyes wide enough, to focus our minds long enough to notice what He has done. Same sort of path. Look back at verse 3. This God rides. He rides on the wings of the wind. Or in verse 5, He set the earth on its foundations. Verse 9, You set a boundary that they may not pass. Look at verse 6. You covered the earth with the deep as with a garment. Or verse 8, the mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you... Why are the mountains and valleys where they are? Well, here's the explanation in verse 8. This God appointed them. Verse 13, from your lofty abode, you water the mountains. When's the last time you thought about the rain in those sorts of terms? Verse 16, the trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. We know what it is for us to get a sprinkler out and to water the grass or to water a garden this summer. When's the last time we thought of God doing that sort of thing? Verse 14, you cause the grass to grow. Verse 16, the cedars of Lebanon that He, this God, planted. Verse 26, you formed Leviathan to play in this sea. Verses 27 and 28. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. One more, verse 30. When you send forth your spirit, they are covered and you renew the face of the ground. Remember where we started in verse 1. O Lord, my God, you are very great. Is that worth saying today? Is that worth singing today? Is that worth sharing this week? Is that worth devoting our time over the course of the next 6 days to thinking about, studying about, growing deeper in our appreciation of it together? Of course it is. And here are many of the reasons. Because look at what this God, your Creator, has done and continues to do. Just notice the verbs. And then appreciate with me how easy it is to just open our Bibles on a Sunday morning and read from Psalm 104. Okay, that's been there a long time. There's a lot going on there. But then to slow down long enough to realize that what's actually going on here is it mirrors Genesis 1 and 2. The week of creation. Psalm 104, verses 1 through 4, is all about light. Psalm 104, verses 5 through 13, is all about the waters. Verses 14 through 18 are all about the trees and the plants. Verses 19 through 23, here is the sun and the moon. Verses 24 through 26, here are the sea creatures. Verses 27 through 30, here are the animals. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been reading the Bible, how long you've been coming to assemblies like this, there is always more to learn. There is always more to notice. We're never going to hit the depths of what God has preserved in His Word. We're never going to get to the point where we're so educated or so sophisticated or so experienced that we can't be refreshed and inspired by opening up His Word again and noticing, joining with the psalmist from 3,000 years ago and saying, O Lord my God, You are very great. But let me ask you something. As you notice, a mirror of days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What we read God created in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Who's missing there? In Psalm 104. You. And me. Human beings. Now we're in Psalm 104. But over the course of the last few minutes, what I would love to do with you, especially to set the table and prepare our hearts for hopefully what will be, as we spend time in God's Word, a rich spiritual feast for all of us. Not because of me or anything that I have to say, but because what could be more valuable this week than spending substantial time together in the Bible? Nothing. And so, where can we find ourselves as God would have us in Psalm 104? Maybe a good way of looking at this as you go back to verse 1 of Psalm 104 is to think about the verbs that will characterize my life, your life, this week, this year. Because we all realize that, okay, I can't go back and change the verbs that characterized my life in 2022, or 2002, or 1982, or any other year you want to talk about. In fact, I can't right now shape the verbs that are going to characterize my life or your life in 2024 or 2034. We don't know what tomorrow will hold, obviously. We don't know if this world will still stand. We don't know if it does, if we will still be here. All that we have is right now. Today. And if the Lord wills, this week. And so what will we do with today? Psalm 104 reminds us of what our God has done. Oh Lord my God, Your works are very great. And we notice all of those verbs about everything that He has done. Well, what about us? Psalm 104 Verse 1, I will bless. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Could I encourage you to think of this week in those sorts of terms? That the goal is not simply to do whatever it is I want to do today. This is not the day that I have made. This is not my world. I'm not the one who planted and shaped and appointed and continues to water all of these things all around me. This is my Father's world. And I want to live, I'd encourage you to live with that sort of an awareness this week. And so recognizing that, living with that awareness, well, what can I do? What can you do to be the sort of creatures He would have us to be, where we take our rightful place along with all of the other aspects of creation mentioned throughout Psalm 104. Well, this is where it begins. I will bless. We've got the opportunity to do that together even this morning. In just a little while, we're going to open up our mouths, open up our hearts, and we're going to sing. And what are we doing as we sing together? Well, we're addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We understand that. But we're also making melody with our hearts to whom? To the Lord. To the Lord of Psalm 104. I'm guessing the songs that we sing together today are songs that you have sung many, many, many times. But could I encourage you not to take that for granted? Not just to open your mouth and mindlessly mouth the words, but to appreciate that as we are singing together this morning, and Lord willing this evening, and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, what are we doing? We are joining with the rest of creation in doing what we were created to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This entire psalm is about recognizing what He has done. Is it a big deal that we would take the time on this first day of the week and throughout this week to recognize what He has done? Keep your hand or a marker there in Psalm 104. Turn back with me to the New Testament book of Romans chapter 1. Let me try and show you why that is absolutely a very big deal. Romans chapter 1, you start reading with me in verse 18 of the chapter. Romans chapter 1, at the end of verse 18, the Apostle Paul draws attention to the fact that there are some human beings who suppress the truth. What truth? In verse 19, he says, "What can be known about God is plain to them." How can I know what God would have me to know about Himself? Well, He has shown it to them, and shown it to me, and shown it to you. What has He shown us? In verse 20, His invisible attributes. Well, I don't know about you. I can't really see invisible things with my physical God-given eyes, right? And so what sort of attributes about God can I not see with my physical eyes, but maybe traces, manifestations of those attributes? What attributes? His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. You can't log on to Amazon or Walmart.com today and order a batch of eternal power or have divine nature shipped to your house. Those are attributes of God that are invisible. But God has shown them to us. Paul says whether you're a descendant of Abraham or a Gentile, whether you grew up in Jerusalem or grew up in Athens or Rome or wherever it is that you want to talk about, this God has shown His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature. How can we perceive those things in the things that have been made? In fact, ever since the creation of the world, ever since Genesis 1 and 2, these things that have been made, that continue all around us, from the wood of this podium to the world on which you woke up this morning, all the way to the farthest reaches of the known universe. These things are testifying this morning. You've noticed, I hope, how the world around us is coming alive once again. A little more green, a little more red and pink and yellow and purple. I woke up this morning and just outside of the window I heard all sorts of birds singing. We have felt the wind as we walked into the building this morning, right? Lord willing, we will watch the sun rise and set off and on all week long. We will look up at the clouds. We will see the trees. We will notice as things begin to come out of the earth. And all around us, what we are being told is there is a God. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the beginning of the world. And if I don't recognize that, look at the last statement in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. I am without excuse. If I don't recognize what this God is doing, I am without excuse. Or you stay right there in Romans chapter 1. If I don't acknowledge, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God. We know how rude it is for someone to maybe walk into a room for the first time ever, to walk into a room for the first time in a long time, for someone to speak up and ask a question or ask for help, make some sort of a request, and to not even acknowledge that they are there, to not even acknowledge that they are speaking. That's not how you build and nurture relationships, right? We acknowledge one another. How much especially ought we to acknowledge there is a God? I am not Him. In fact, if you go back with me to our key text in Psalm 104, you look at verse 24. That's exactly what we are being encouraged to do. This is so much more than just an empty catalog of what God has done throughout history. Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them known. The earth is full of your creatures. I'm acknowledging that. I'm looking not just at those things, but I'm looking to Him. Look at verse 27 again. These all look to you. All of these various aspects of creation, they are all looking to God. They know that there is a God, right? These all look to you to give them their food in due season. You know, oftentimes the only aspect of creation that doesn't look to God the way that we ought to, it's human beings. Isn't that why the Son of God in Matthew chapter 6 taught us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. Why? so that we would look to Him the way all of these other aspects of creation would. Verse 31 of the same chapter, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. Well, what is that? It is the language of glorifying God. Could I encourage you as we spend time praying together this week? When's the last time you thought about how amazing it is that a variety of human beings would all at the same moment quiet their mouths, calm their spirits, be led in prayer, and those prayers be heard in the throne room of heaven? Let's appreciate the fact that throughout this week, we are anticipating glorifying the Lord of the universe together in prayer. Verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Verse 34, may my meditation be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. What's going to fill your mind this week? So absolutely easy for so many of us not to have hardly any quiet time whatsoever. Some of us struggle, I'm afraid, with silence, with solitude, where if there is any moment where there's not something going on around us, we reflexively reach for a phone and immediately distract ourselves with what is happening, what people are saying, what people have to sell us, whatever it is. Nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves unless we don't take the time to recognize. I am today, I have today, I am sustained today, I am alive today because of a God who reigns. I'm going to sing to Him. I'm going to rejoice in Him. And I'm going to do my best to shine for Him. Look at the last verse of the chapter. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. I can't change anybody else's life. I can't force anybody to bless the Lord or recognize that there is a God, acknowledge Him. I can't make anybody who doesn't want to look and glorify and sing to Him. I can't make you meditate on Him this week or compel you to rejoice in Him when you don't want to rejoice. But I can shine in front of you. I can reflect the light that He has provided. And perhaps in doing that, just like Jesus encouraged us to recognize in the Sermon on the Mount, maybe someone will see that shining and want to know why. Why are you different? Why, even when life is hard, do you continue talking about joy and honoring God in the way that you live? I don't understand. Your spouse was just diagnosed with cancer, and you're talking in terms of how good God is. And you keep talking about blessings, and I don't understand. That language is all over the New Testament. Recognize why you are here. Recognize the reason that God doesn't awaken the eyes of your heart and compel you to respond to the gospel and immediately usher you into heaven just as soon as you come out of the waters of baptism. You are here to shine. By blessing Him and recognizing and acknowledging Him, looking to Him, glorifying Him, singing, meditating, rejoicing in Him, so that by shining you might have the opportunity to share what a difference He's made in your life. Before we close, would you open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we'll end this morning. I appreciate so much the opportunity to be with you. Appreciate your attention this morning. I'm looking forward to our week together. In many ways, what we want to talk about all week long is about this God and the difference that He can make in anybody's life. And in a wide variety of ways, we're going to look at life as a blessing, as a journey, as a fight to be fought, as a race to be run, as a faith to be kept. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 are precious, precious words in Scripture. Here is an apostle of Jesus Christ who realizes that his time on earth is coming to a close. And in this very personal letter to a young evangelist, he says, 2 Timothy 4 verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. I don't believe that you would be in this room this morning if you didn't, in some way, want to be able to say at some point in the future with the Apostle Paul, I have fought. I have run. I have kept. Could I just encourage you to recognize this morning that I have is only possible if I am willing to say, I will. Before I have is realized, I will must be resolved. So my aim is to use God's Word this week to try and make sure that's exactly where we all are as disciples of Jesus Christ. I will bless, I will recognize, I will acknowledge, I will look, I will glorify, I will sing, I will meditate, I will rejoice, I will shine, I will share, so that at the end of my time on this earth, I can say, by God's grace, I have fought the fight, I have run the race, I have kept the faith. Psalm 104 is a great place to start. Thank you so much for your kind attention this morning, for the invitation to be with you. We'll take a brief break.